Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Deliveries, deliveries in the rural America, in the city America. The deliveries in the cities are on bicycles, often food, sometimes powered bicycles. Deliveries in rural America, the Amazon truck, the UPS truck, the mailman, all the time, packages coming in the age of online ordering for food or for novelties or for large pieces of furniture. Anything will be delivered. And now I welcome John Tamney of Real Clear Markets, the editor, because he has discovered that very clever states, Colorado and Minnesota are mentioned especially in his article, have seen all of a sudden deliveries are a new way of taxing. John, what's happened? Tax what? Good evening to you.
Tax the movement of goods and services. More and more people go to a DoorDash, a Grubhub, different delivery services to get to them, either because they can't get to these stores and restaurants themselves, or because they're not, because physically they can't, or because they're not in their neighborhoods. And so this is a growing way for people to transact. And when governments see transactions happening, they look to tax it.
Tax why? Tax how? It's a delivery truck. The man or the woman who delivers working very hard. They're on a clock. They take pictures. It's extremely convenient. I pay for everything about that when I buy the item. That's taken into account at Amazon or all the mail order houses. They're not mail order. They're internet, online ordering. So what are they taxing? What is the government's explanation for why they get to lay a tax on?
Well, their explanation is, I mean, they're actually being fairly open and honest about it. They're saying that the highway funds are experiencing a shortfall as people drive less because these delivery services are driving for them. There's also an expressed view that because there are all these delivery drivers, government needs to basically monitor them, find out who they are. They want information on these delivery drivers. So we need to build a bureaucracy to look after these drivers. And so there's all sorts of reasons, but the underlying one is, they want more money. This is a growing way in which people transact. We want our money for it.
And what is Colorado charging for the first rate? Where do they begin?
Colorado is charging 27 cents per delivery. Minnesota's legislators have proposed 75 cents. A lot of people listening to this are saying, well, that's nothing. But think about how regressive this is. On a $25 order, that's a 3% surcharge placed on orders in Minnesota. And so a lot of restaurant owners are very fearful of this. They had been offering free delivery all this time, and this is government essentially arrogating to themselves a percentage that they never even wanted to take from their customers in the first place.
We don't know all the details, but it's easy to imagine that delivery doesn't choose between a bicycle, a powered bike, a van, or an automobile, and 27 cents in Colorado for all of those deliveries. However, John, I do mention, as I was reading your piece, it occurs to me that we're doing what is recommended by our legislatures. We're staying off the road. We're not using fossil fuels. We're not tying up traffic. We're not wearing down the intersections. We're just having one van serve hundreds of people. Isn't that a good thing? Don't they want to encourage that, John?
Well, you bring up what is kind of ironic about this, that they've said all this time, as you allude, hey, people should drive less. And here that's happening. Here's capitalism bringing out this outcome. I can't say it's good or bad. It's merely interesting that's taking place. But it's kind of like cigarettes. Politicians hated cigarette companies enough to make sure that they taxed cigarettes because they wanted the revenues more than they hated the externalities of smoking. And I think we're seeing the same here. They want us off the road, but they don't want to lose the revenues of us being on the road.
Now we move to another phenomenon you've written up in Forbes. I've puzzled for some time why all of a sudden bankers I know, made it clear to me that it's now possible to get 4.5% or 4.7% for your cash. No longer, I asked, what was it before? Well under 1%. Now, John, does this mean there's a credit crunch? Why are the banks suddenly becoming generous?
Well, it's the opposite of a credit crunch. If they're really trying hard, if they're courting us, if they're saying we'll pay you extra to rent your money, that logically means that they are aggressively trying to loan the money out. Banks aren't warehouses. If they were just renting money and staring at it lovingly, they'd be insolvent. And so it strikes me that higher interest rates for banks are a sign of banks kind of opening up the credit spigot.
And this is a good thing. We can't tell. It's neither a good thing nor a bad thing, but it's not a credit crunch. Now, John, if they're paying more for my cash, the cash that they have, what are they doing with it? Do they keep it like a Scrooge McDuck in a great big vault that they swim in?
Would it be that way? I know that a lot of the economic religions wish that banks wouldn't lend because they've bought into this absurd notion that bank lending multiplies money. Of course, it doesn't. But no, banks take in money because they want to lend it out. That's the only reason they take in savings. They borrow from savers so they can lend it out to those who need the funds in near term fashion. And so logic dictates that as rates go up, this is a sign of more credit out there. And conversely, when rates were near zero, that was a sign they didn't see a lot of opportunities to lend.
And the old days, there was no interest in the bank putting cash in. They just left me alone. I guess they didn't want to say they were paying less than 1%. Now there are all these competing ads about how much a CD will get you. Is that because there's a credit crunch or because they want to lend money?
I would submit they want to lend money. They see opportunities now that they didn't before. That can be the only reason. And let's add that that's probably a sign they're taking bigger risks with the money. You wouldn't pay extra for money unless you intended to lend it out at even higher rates of interest, which means you're taking bigger risks with it. Because let's be clear, those CDs that offer 4%, Jeff Bezos doesn't borrow at 4%. He borrows much lower. What this tells us is that banks are paying more for cash so that they can lend it out at higher rates. They're actually aggressively taking more risk.
Well, good for them. Back to this delivery tax. Reminds me of the early days of mobile phones, John, when not only states and cities, but counties had a tax on your mobile phone. I never figured that out. Did you, John? What use was a county with a mobile phone that was on a tower built by AT&T or Sprint or any of the other carriers? It was mighty puzzling. However, you've also made a point in your article about this being a form of tariff. Is that correct, John? A tariff on interstate commerce.
Yes, that's what I think it is. That's what I think internet taxes were. They said, well, these businesses don't have a physical presence here, so we need to tax them as though they do. Well, that's just a tariff on exchange, and it's a dangerous slope we're on, because what is the Commerce Clause in the Constitution about? It wasn't about regulating trade. It was just making sure that trade was regular, as in the United States would be one massive Hong Kong. This 50 states of free flowing goods and people. Don't run away from that. That's arguably one of the biggest reasons the U.S. is the richest country on earth, precisely because goods and people can move without restraint.
John Tamney of Real Clear Markets. When the Amazon truck backs down my drive, I'll think, there goes another quarter. I'm John.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.